You are listening to the Conversational Selling Podcast with Nancy Calabrese.
Hi, everyone. It's Nancy Calabrese, and it's time for Conversational Selling, the podcast where sales leaders and business experts share what's going on in sales and marketing today. And it always starts with the human conversation. Joining us again today is Ari Galper, the world's number one authority on trust-based selling. Ari is one of the most experienced sales growth advisors in the world. He's the creator of Unlock the Sales Game, a completely new revolutionary sales approach that overturns the notion of selling as we know it today. Ari's vision to change the world through trust has been the foundation of his work as a private sales growth advisor to forward-thinking CEOs. He's been featured in CEO Magazine, Forbes, Inc., and many more, and his book, Unlock the Sales Game, has become an instant bestseller amongst business owners and entrepreneurs across the globe. I'm so excited to welcome you back, Ari. Let's jump right in.
Thank you, Nancy. Glad to be here. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, we always have fun. So I want to start with, how do you identify a forward-thinking CEO?
It's usually someone who's open-minded and not hanging on to what he or she thinks is always right. It's unusual to find someone like that who's willing to say, okay, I'm good at what I do in this area, but in this area, I should probably feel like I'm a student and learn from someone new and get some new ideas, because it is hard to sort of set the ego aside and say, okay, maybe I need some help here. So it's really someone who's willing to say, I need some help. I'm open to shifting my mindset and a new perspective.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, being open is the way we grow and improve all of our skills. So, you know, you're all about authenticity and trust. To me, it seems like the only way to be, but why do so many salespeople get it wrong?
I think they've been conditioned over the years to use certain techniques or certain approaches that feels like they're dominating the process. They're controlling the process. They have to use this energy to manage it. They have to use certain words, techniques to kind of close the sale. And there's so much conditioning they've been exposed to in terms of like this burden they're carrying, that it's almost like carrying sales armor on when they leave their homes. They go to work. They put this sort of this packaging on where they got to like sort of push the, get ready for the battle. You know, right, to get ready for the bullets.
Right.
And when you do that, you protect yourself and you can't be your natural self. It's hard because you can't be relaxed, you know?
You know, isn't it freeing to be able to be it yourself and engage in conversation?
You know, not only is it cathartic and it feels great just to be relaxed with someone who's a potential client or prospect, but what that allows to happen is the other person you're speaking with has this feeling inside that, wow, I really like them. I think I can trust them. I'm comfortable here, because they can tell within 3 seconds if you're carrying any sales stuff on you, like a technique, your voice inflection. They can just feel if you're not authentic. Now, they won't tell you, hey, you're not authentic.
But
their behaviors will show when they say things to you like, oh, I'm going to think about it, or call me next week, and they delay the decision. Usually it's because of something you did in the process.
Yeah. Listen, we've all been there and slipped on a banana peel. And then, you know, I know you recently published a post. Why is our instinct to chase a sale? Why is it? Why do so many salespeople chase the wrong deals?
Well, I think many have been conditioned to believe that chasing is a normal part of selling. It's accepted. You're supposed to do it. That's how you make sales. You follow up, you chase, you chase, you chase. Well, that's something that's been embedded in the psyche of selling for many years. But as you may know or don't know yet, you know, we've figured out a way to solve that problem by never chasing people ever again, by getting to the truth of people and knowing up front where you stand with them. I know it's hard to believe it's possible. Right. Most people go, how is that even possible? But we cracked the code on that.
Right. You know, on a personal note, my poor daughter is heartbroken today because she got to the truth with this boy that she's been dating. and learn that he's really not interested in dating. And, you know, as a mother and you're a father, your heart breaks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of saying was, well, at least you got to the truth.
Correct.
And that's what we do in sales. All we want is to get to the truth, you know, get to that no, so that we can move on to the next one and earn the right to follow up with them. No is a not now in our company.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, yeah, we use the phrase, are we a fit or not, as opposed to yes or no. So same conclusion, yeah, though, is there something here or not?
Yeah, sure. So how do you recommend building trust in a sales call?
Well, it first starts with a mindset shift, where you have to metaphorically see yourself as a doctor and they're a patient. We love that metaphor because it really cuts through all the noise, where your job is not to build a relationship with them pre-sale. You know, when you go see a doctor, he doesn't try and become your friend.
Right.
Oh, how's it going? How's the weather out there? They don't have to do any of the sales stuff. So what they start with is, where does it hurt? Right?
Yeah.
And then you say, my shoulder hurts. And you say, he says, let me take a look. And he says, oh, wow, okay. Let's get you an x-ray right away. Let's look at the whole system and see what's going on. Then you get the x-ray done, you throw it in the screen. And the doctor says, yep, I see the problem. You know, this and this and this and this. And here's a plan we're going to do to fix it. You know, so it strips out all that sales stuff. Now, I'm not saying you follow that exact process, but I'm suggesting that if you can think differently about letting go of the sale and focusing 100% on their problem and then going through what I call going down the iceberg with people, where you take their what they tell you their problem is, and then you unpack it to a deeper level. Even the prospect didn't know they understood well enough. And you help them understand the context behind that. And then you ask some questions to move them forward. That's really how you shift everything around.
Yeah. Again, it makes so much sense. And Ari and I had a chance to chat before the podcast began. And I asked him, are you Sandler trained? I was almost 100% sure, Ari, you were, based on your approach to selling. But Ari has a different approach. So why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, so I'm not too familiar with that approach. It was a long time ago. It was something to do with certain moments in the process where you kind of identify yes or no with some upfront contracts and all that. So our philosophy is different. It's not designed to get a yes or a no. Our process is designed, like your daughter, to get to the truth, to get to the truth, whether it's a fit or not. And it's a different mindset, different languaging, different frame. Let's give an example. We invented our own set of languaging called trust-based languaging. And I'll give you some examples right now what I mean by that. Let's do a live scenario. Let's say you're on a call with somebody for the first time, a first conversation, and the call is going well, there's good chemistry, good opportunity, call comes to an end. Normally in sales, we say things like, hey, that's great. Let's move things forward. Let's get together. Let's move things towards, you know, the sale. Typically like that. But in our model, when a call comes to an end like that and it's a good fit, or it looks like she's not like a good fit, what we say is this. We say, where do you think we should go from here?
Yep.
And we shift the momentum, let them be in control and let them feel comfortable opening up to us on where they're at. We don't make any assumptions. That's the difference here. So we don't make any assumptions about a next step. We let them step into it if they want to. And that's hard for people in selling because we've been taught and trained to move people forward. We've been taught and trained when there's a lull in the conversation, we got to keep things going. See, we carry the burden from the old sales gurus that tells us our job is to move that ball forward. And that's the problem. When you are one step ahead of where they're at, you're not building trust with them.
Yeah, well, you know, to your point, something that I usually close my meetings with is, what would you like to have happen next? Because again, the focus is on them, what they want to do, not what I want to do.
Yeah,
and
you
it
can
works.
You can tweak it. Yours or ours is, you know, where would you like to go from here? But it's all the same sort of vein there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of sales reps don't believe in voice messaging. We do. It costs nothing. Why is that a mistake? And what tips do you have on how to deliver a message that'll get a return call?
Well, obviously, in this day and age, people respond less to voicemail than I think other opportunities. But it's not, you shouldn't forget it and not do it. I mean, you might as well leave a message if you're trying to reach somebody. But the way you go about crafting that message is important. And the way we teach that is our whole philosophy, by the way, is problem-centric, not solution-centric. Okay. So we don't leave any information or messages or talk to people about solutions until the time is right. We orient then the message around the person's problem. So the message and the way we describe it on a voicemail would be something like, you know, hi, John, this is Nancy. Hope you're well. I'm just giving you a call to see if the issue of that we spoke about is still a priority for you, that you still want to work on and address and kind of resolve once and for all. If that's still something you want to, it's important to you to take care of, give me a call, and then we can talk about some different ideas around that.
Right.
So it's centric around the problem, their problem, not the solution.
So, but what about somebody that you have not had a relationship with? Would the message be a relationship with yet or a conversation? Message be the same?
It would be also problem centric. I'm just giving you a call to see if you may have any issues around A, B, and C that's impacting your business. We have some insight from my help, and if you're open to it, I'd be happy to have just a brief chat with you about some ideas for you on that.
Yeah, and it works. It works. You don't get a lot of return calls, but it costs nothing to leave a message, right?
Yeah, and as long as it's not solution-oriented, then they view you as someone who's approachable.
Right. And I think I'm looking at your site, you did a podcast. I think it was a podcast. Are you hooked on hopium? I love that word. Great question. Explain what it's about.
Well, that goes down to the idea of assuming the sale, hoping it'll work out, moving to a next step. That's the whole hopium thing. And there's a story behind that. I once got an inbound call that got through my team, got to me unexpected. I picked the phone up and I heard Mr. Galper. I said, yeah. And he's like, my name's John. I'm making the name up. My name's John Johnson. I'm with XYZ Company, big company. You recognize the name. We're looking to bring someone in to change our sales culture and our approach. We're looking at you and to the people we like to know. First of all, why should we go with you? Why are you the best? And give me your best sales pitch. That's what he says to me, right?
I immediately would be bowing away from that.
So I took a deep breath and I lowered my voice and I said to him, well, isn't that interesting? Because over here at our company, we have a very similar process to you, where we ask a couple of questions, see if we're a good fit. And if we're a good fit, we decide where to go from there.
Right.
That's all I said. Literally, it's all I said with a soft tone like that. Then there was like dead silence on the phone. Nothing was there. Then he came back and he lowers his voice. He says to me, okay, what kind of questions do you have for me? Next thing I know, we're having a normal conversation. And then 5 minutes later, I determined one, he's not a decision maker. Two, he has no budget. And three, he's just curious as to what I do. So off he went to YouTube for some of my videos, free videos he watched, and he left the call, and that saved me months of hopium, the hope that it might turn to something.
Yep.
So I got the truth.
Yeah, you know, we had an interesting one just before our call. One of my callers, appointment setters, was trying to schedule an appointment for me, and they really liked him. So they wanted him to schedule a follow-up meeting, Zoom meeting. So Philip, my appointment setter, is like panicky. What do I do? How do I handle it? And I said, you know what? They're probably looking to recruit you for their company. Well, fast forward, he texts me and they wanted me to jump in the Zoom meeting now. And I did. I spent a few minutes with them. But they immediately went into, you know, the 50 questions, how much you charge, what's your process, blah, blah, blah. And I was waiting for my moment to turn it back to them to understand why is it that we're on the phone at all. So I was able to pivot and they gave me some pains. And, you know, prospects like to control the conversation, right? Just like the one you described. And I think it's important to take a step back and, you know, be respectful and polite, but definitely collect the information you need to make a decision. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, just to comment on that situation there, I'm working on a new book next year called The One Call Sale, which is how to compress a sales cycle to one conversation where you take control from the beginning. You don't allow them to cross-examine you with questions like that up front before the problems come out. So we have some subtle ways of doing that. And I'll give you an example. For instance, you know, when someone asks, when you're in a call like that, and they start pummeling you with questions, and you're waiting for the moment to turn things around, when the first question comes in, what you say is this: you say, "I'm happy to answer all your questions for you, everything on your mind." Then you, here's how you shift over. But would you be open if we took a step back for a moment and you kind of walk me through a bit about your situation, a bit about your story, where your issues are and your concerns are?
Right.
Then we'll go from there. Would you be open to that?
Yep.
And that usually flips that right there and then. You take control and you stay in control all the way through.
Yep. No, I agree. It's becoming that doctor. You have to understand the issues before you can diagnose or determine if
the patient can't be asked about anything until the doctor has a full 360 view of the problem.
what do you want me to spotlight? What do you want to talk about?
You know, I think let's talk about this whole one call sale process, because I think a lot of salespeople, a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners are used to the idea of a long sales cycle. They assume it's just part of the way things go. They're used to multiple steps. They're used to following up. They think the whole goal of the first conversation is to, quote, build a relationship. Well, I'll contend that's the wrong way of thinking. Your goal is not to build a relationship with someone pre-sale. Your goal is to build a relationship with them post-sale once they're a client, not before they're a client. Because if you do it beforehand, what happens is you conflict social norms and business norms. Now it gets so fuzzy and so messy, they don't listen to you and follow your process because you're not the authority anymore. You've got to keep positioned as the authority in the process. And that's really the model that we teach, using this kind of concept called going down the iceberg, where you unpack, you diagnose and unpack their issue. But let me clarify this, not fact-finding questions. A lot of people start asking questions around fact-finding, like how big is the problem? How many, you know, assets do you have? We start to like cross-examine them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trust-building questions. I'll give you an example. Let's say, give me an example in your scenario, like one problem that you might hear that they told you. What's a common issue that you hear? What do they tell you in the phone? What their issue was?
Yeah, they'll tell us that we tried a service like yours in the past. It didn't work. Appointments were unqualified.
No, but what's the problem they have in their business they want to solve? That's the solution.
Oh, they need more leads in their pipeline, first-time appointments.
Okay. So if I heard that in our model, if someone said to us, my problem is we don't have enough leads.
Right.
What I'd say is this. I'd say, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yep. Tell me more.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And lower your voice at the end. Lower your tonality. You cannot be strong, confident. You cannot blow them through. You got to be really, you have to have what I call bedside manner, like a doctor. You got to be empathetic. Can you tell me more about that?
Empathetic, right. That's where
bedside
we
manner.
Become actors. Actors and actresses.
It's not really actors. You have to actually feel it. You got to care about them. It's not fake. You got to actually feel in your heart that you want to help these people, like a doctor does. You got to say it with sincerity, you know.
Well, I think what I meant, and I maybe misstated it, is we're taught to listen to their tone and match their style of communication. So when I say actors, that's when we become actors, because we want them to listen to us because we sound like them.
Oh, gotcha.
And
that's the matching mirror
important.
Thing. That's the matching mirror thing. Yeah. So we don't do that over here. We don't match the clients at all. We just automatically go empathy and they relax, they open up. We don't put any energy into matching them at all. We just go, we feel like this. We say, They say the problem, and we start going down the iceberg with this. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Yeah.
And they start opening up. And then we say things like, how long has that been a concern for you for?
Yep.
What have you done so far on your own to try and deal with the issue? How have you tried to solve it by yourself?
Yep.
What's the impact to your business that's been impacting you by not having enough leads? I mean, how much opportunity do you think you're leaving on the table? See, I'm asking trust building. I'm asking questions here that go below what they even thought the problem was, because I'm not going to assume they even know what their own problem is in complete clarity, because the client, the prospect only sees their world 180 degrees. Yeah. We see 360, right? So we're not going to adapt to them. They're going to adapt to our process because we are the doctor. They're the patient. They have to sit there and let us do our diagnostic process in a trust-based manner, because at the bottom of the iceberg is where the sale is made on that first conversation. And the last question you ask them is this: is this a priority for you to solve and address once and for all? Or is something you're happy to live with for a while? I'm okay either way.
Yep. I'm going to start calling you Dr. Ari.
Okay. Well, my dad was a psychologist. So.
Okay. You know, we're running out of time. What is the one takeaway you'd like to leave the audience with?
I would say that the world has changed so much in the last 3 to 4 years, as everyone knows, that trust right now is the most important currency of all. And if you can just let go of all the sales techniques, behaviors, all the energy you put into things, and have a natural model that builds trust with people right away, I think you'll crack the code and have an amazing year.
Well, you know, everyone, listen to what Dr. Ari says. It's true. Everything he has said today resonates with me. And how can my people find you?
Look, I think the best thing is to grab a copy of my book at unlockthegame.com. It's called Unlock the Sales Game. And you get the book on the website there. There's a whole $300 video series as well, and a chance to have potentially a consultation with one of my coaches to kind of go through the process with us and see if we can help you unpack your own issue and see things you can't see. So as long as you're open to challenging your own premise of your own assumptions, you're not afraid of that, then grab my book, Unlock the Sales Game, at my website, Unlock the Game. I do a live a show once a month called Stump the Guru on LinkedIn, where you can jump in and try and challenge me with your toughest questions. I've got a show coming up after us today. So anyways, go to unlockthegame.com. Watch the documentary there. There's a film we did on the whole story. And if it resonates with you, be aggressive and jumping forward.
I love it. I love it. So thanks again. I'm going to get you on this show again. I mean, so much to talk about. I so enjoyed learning more. And you know what? My biggest takeaway was you don't do mirroring. That's really interesting. So maybe we'll pick that up next time.
No, we don't do anything that requires energy on our part.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for listening in, and go grab that book. I already have it and it's fabulous. We'll see you next time.
The Conversational Selling Podcast is sponsored by One-of-a-Kind Sales. If you are frustrated that you don't have enough leads, or your sales team complains that they just don't have enough time to prospect, we can help. To work with Nancy and her team to help you manage your sales team, install her proven outbound sales process, and create more bottom-line results, email her now at nancy@oneofakindsales.com. To learn more about Nancy and her outbound sales secrets, grab your free copy of her book, The Inside Sales Solution, at oneofakindsales.com/book.